To share with you from the book of Joshua. It's already been read in your hearing. I'd like to read again for your consideration verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to skip and jump to verse 12 and read verses 12 through 14. Supporting scripture this morning should come from St. Matthew 7 and 12, a very familiar passage this morning. The second chapter of the book of Joshua. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out a Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." Verse 12. "Now therefore, I pray ye, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord have given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Matthew 7 and 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the and the prophets." Hallelujah, Jesus. "Now, therefore, I pray ye, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." The basis of those verses, we like to speak from the thought or subject, a deal based on kindness. A deal based on kindness. You got to know this morning that it is a blessing just to be able to come into God's house. I visit a lot of folk that their main conversation is, "I can't wait until I can come back to the house of God." And sometimes I am critical, and I begin to think in my mind that you get everywhere else, you ought to be able to get to the house of God. I'm just being honest about myself now, because you have to come to grips with the fact we do what we want to do. And not belittling anybody that's going through, because I don't know how you feel at a given moment. Amen. You see, last night you might have felt real good, but this morning the devil or the enemy may got a hold of you and you just don't feel like you thought that you were going to feel. So we got to be very careful about being so judgmental, but you got to be honest with yourself too, because the Lord knows everything that you do, everything you think, everything that you say. So it's all right to be real. It's all right to just tell it exactly like it is, because the way I look at it, if you can get to the doctor, you can get here. You don't have to dress up to come in here. Just come in here. I know. We got some folk in here that are going to go tell it. I want you to tell it. That's why I said it. We are here to help one another on what we call this Christian journey. And if you're not on a Christian journey, we're here to help you get on the right track, because even though we might be on the right track, we don't do everything right. So we got to help one another, pray one for another as we go along the way, because we got to understand this morning that it's not by any of our goodness, but it's only by the mercy and grace of a loving God that he's allowed us another chance to assemble on a first Sunday and just to lift up the name of Jesus. A day where we come and we set aside to observe the Lord's Supper as we break bread together and remember the sacrificial death that Jesus the Christ, as he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. We owe God something this morning. We owe him something because he loved us so much that as believers in the word of God, we should count it all joy just to be partakers of the body of Christ. And we ought to humble ourselves at his feet with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for another day's journey. I thank you that I can eat of the bread. I thank you, God, that you shed your blood on Calvary. We come this morning and we are able to say, all of us, that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be right now? All of us can say, look where he brought me from. For there was a time in our lives when we weren't pleased with where we was in the sight of God. We weren't pleased with our action. We wasn't pleased with the way that we were carrying ourselves. So we went to God in prayer, and God heard our humble cry. And how many of you know that God will step in when everybody else seemed to close the door on you? God will step in. And when you know that you got God on your side, then you know that you got some hope. See, without the Lord, there's no hope. Without the Lord, we got to know that all of our running, all of our preaching, singing, and whatever you do for the cause of Christ would be in vain. The hymn that's penned the words, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So you see, there's power in that blood. I found and I heard someone say that that blood will never lose its power. When we just think about how much God loved us, and he loved us so much that the word declares that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When he gave his life, he defeated the last enemy known to man as death. He was buried and got up with all power in his hands. And because he got up with that power, we can all sing together, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Anybody know that you didn't get up all by yourself? Anybody remember the time that you were waddling down in the dirt and in the mud and you weren't fit for nothing, but God loved you so much that he still blessed you anyway? Those times when you couldn't get your head together, but God was still in the midst of your situation, and when you were getting ready to throw your hands up in despair, God said, don't throw them up in despair and give up. Just throw them up in a hallelujah praise. Anybody got any hands of praise this morning? When you just think about how good the Lord has been, how many of you know that if it had been for God, you wouldn't even be here right now? How many of you know that God has a way that he can do anything that needs to be done? Anybody talk to God this morning? Anybody talk to God last night? So somebody talked to him all week last week. And there are some things that you ask God for that you had an immediate response. And then there are some things you asked him for that they're still there on the table. Anybody waiting on God? You got to learn how to wait on him. You got to learn how to have some patience in your life. Everything not just going to come instant and automatic, but every now and again, you got to learn how to wait on God. So somebody said if you learn to tarry for a little while, a lot of us don't like to tarry because we're in too big of a hurry. A hurry big in a hurry going nowhere. Going nowhere. If you're not going where the Lord is, then you are going nowhere. You ought to be thankful that God has given you a mind to open up your mouth to tell God thank you. The word teaches us that in all things, give thanks. We got to learn that when we're going through our hard times, he is the one that is able to help and keep us. We got to know that as we go through our hard times and God blesses and comforts us and reassures us that everything is going to be all right. So when we get that reassurance and we know that God has brought us through, then what happens is that when our brother or our family member began to go through, then we are able to share with them. We are able to console them. We are able to comfort them. We are able to say, I've been where you are, and I guarantee you, I can't tell you when God is going to work it out, but God's going to work it out. I can't tell you how God's going to work it out, but God's going to work it out. You ever had to help somebody along the way, get them to understand that God is not through with you yet, that God realize that you are a work in progress, and as he's working on you, he's changing some things in your life? But the enemy wants you to think that you're not going to be anything. The enemy wants you to think that all of your running has been in vain. But I want to let you know this morning that the enemy ain't nothing but a dirty fighter. The enemy is that one that's going to try to sidetrack you, try to make you think that all what you're doing is not going to get you anywhere. But the little that you do for the Lord, I know that God is going to give you back double fold. Anybody in here ever helped somebody when you really didn't have the means? But somehow, in some way, God still made a way.
So somebody said, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. But how many of you know that God has a way, that he has a way of mending things together even when you can't see it? You get it there and it don't want to seem to fit, but God has a way of forcing it in. And when God gets things exactly where he wants them to be, that's when God can work with you. Anybody in here want to be molded? Anybody want to be used by God? Anybody want to get out of their comfort zone and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, what can I do for the cause of Christ? What can I do to let my brother or my sister know that God is not dead? Some of you act like the God that you serve has died and is not alive. But I thank my God this morning that the God I live of, the God that I'm talking about, he's not dead. He is still alive. How do I know? Because I can feel him deep down in the depths of my soul. Anybody in here feel God? Hallelujah, Jesus. God blesses us, makes a way out of no way. Sometimes we begin to wonder, why, Lord, have you been so good? Then there's some folk that ask, Lord, why am I going through so much? But once you grow enough to recognize that your blessings, you see, whether they're big or small, you got to recognize. Sometimes we look over our blessings. God, it's a blessing just to be here. It's a blessing just to be able to hear this morning. Don't you know there's somebody that can't hear a sound that come out of your mouth? If you're able to see me and that my arm go this way, that's a blessing that you can see that. If you got a mindset this morning to tell God thank you, and you got the Holy Ghost hand, you own that mind lifting up those hands to the power of a mighty God. Every now and again, I find myself saying, look at God. Look what God done. I was going through it. I didn't know what I was going to do, but look at God. All my bills were due, but look at God. Didn't have no food to eat, but God gave me a loaf of bread and a couple of pieces of meat. Look at God. My children are going through all kinds of hell, but I'm down on bending knees, and I'm praying to the power of a mighty God, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. The devil thought they had mine, but they got away. Look at God. It's not anything that you have done, but look at what God has done. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a friend. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have in Jesus. The Bible says, if a man is to have friends, he got to first show himself friendly. So we got to be careful what kind of seeds you sow. See, the Bible declares if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap. But if you sow to the Spirit, the Bible declares a spiritual things ye shall reap. So we know what it is to have favor. Anybody in here know what it is to be in the favor of God? Hallelujah, Jesus. So somebody ought to know something about God's favor. Now favor don't mean that you're going to hit the lottery. Favor don't mean that you got to have a brand new automobile. Favor does not necessarily mean that you got everything that you necessarily want. But favor is knowing that you got everything that you need. Favor is knowing that I can call on the name of the Lord when I'm down and out and I don't know what to do. Favor is knowing that God is going to come to my rescue. Favor is knowing that when my body is in pain and I don't have any money to go to the doctor, but I can go down on bended knee and I can steal away in my secret closet and I can start talking to my God and God begin to look at my situation. See, I'm not worried about Sister Davis right now. I got to ask Lord, help me so I can help her. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, when you got the favor of God, then you ought to know that you're blessed to be a blessing. So now, what does Jesus say? He said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What goes around comes around. What you want other folk to do for you, you ought to be willing to do for somebody else. If you don't know how to be nice to nobody, do you think anybody going to be nice to you? You got to know how to work this thing. You got to know that it's not about what you got. Sometimes it's about who you know. And who you ought to know is the Lord. Now the Lord can lead you to some folk that'll help you out of some situations. But first of all, you got to know who God is. Anybody in here talking to God for yourself? Everybody waiting on somebody else to pray for them. See, if you're just waiting on the preacher prayer, hallelujah, you might not get there but one or two times a week. Whole lot of folk on the list. But if you're talking to God for yourself, every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day you ought to remember yourself. Every day you ought to know exactly what you're going through. So now, that thing that you want somebody to do for you, you got to know that kindness that is in here. Kindness is something that every believer ought to know something about. Some folks say that they love Jesus and act like they're mean as a snake. Some kindness is genuine. And then some kindness is just given on the basis of a motive or a hidden agenda. Kindness. There's some of us. We wonder why we don't have certain things or we don't have many friends. Reason being because we don't know what it is to be kind. We don't know that the way you treat other folk or the way other folk don't treat you. Now, sometimes it might not be the same folk that you mistreated. But as I said, what goes around comes around. So now you got to learn that we got to learn how to be kind. This morning we are dealing with a deal based on kindness. First of all, let us look here at these two words. Kindness is the practice of being or the tendency to be sympathetic and compassionate. An act of consideration and caring. Kindness. How can you say that you are Christ-like and you don't know how to be kind? How can you say that you want to get closer to God and you don't practice having some compassion for somebody else? You know how it is when the storm of life hit your life. Then you are led to believe that somebody ought to come to your rescue. When trouble comes in your family, you believe that somebody ought to be praying with you. But now, what about when it's not your family, but it's somebody else's family? Do you still have that same compassion and love and mindset that what can I do to be a help? Now there are times that there's nothing that you can do. There are times where we might be able to say that my hands are tied. But one thing about my hand being tied, my knees are not bucked up. I can go down on my knees. I can talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to come in and do something about your situation. So anybody know that if you're going to be kind, it ought to come from in here. It ought to be genuine. It ought to be something that whatever you say, you mean what you say. Now, deal. A deal based on kindness. A deal is an agreement or an arrangement for a transaction usually that's going to benefit both parties. So, if I make a deal with Daryl, then Daryl is going to get something out of it, and I'm going to get something out of it. So now, have anybody in here ever made a deal? Sometimes, when you make a deal with somebody, it's also a promise, an agreement, a covenant. You're saying that I'll do what I say I'm going to do, so now you need to do what you say you gon' do. A deal can even be a work job. Pimmin, if you wash the side of my house, Pimmin gonna give me a price. And so the deal is, if he clean the house, I give him such dollars. So now if I step outside the house and I see a few spots that he done miss, glory. Now, I'm talking about that Pittman. So now, when I say there's a spot and I'm going to have to cut what I said I'm going to give, trouble in the land already. Because first of all, you made a deal. Now, you may go back and forth and debate or do whatever you got to do to get to the bottom line. But the bottom line of any deal is that you ought to do what you say you're going to do. And the respondent ought to do what they say they're going to do. So it leads me to believe that every now and again, you got to use what you got. And then take an old thing from my cousin, you got to make it do what it do. So now, here we are. It's going to take me but a few more minutes. A deal based on kindness. Now, first of all, this is a story about a woman by the name of Rahab. Bible declares that she's a harlot, a woman of the night, living in the midst of ungodly Jericho. The one that's most unlikely to have been chosen to be used for divine deliverance. How that even in a doomed city, a wicked individual can find grace of God by turning from their wicked ways and having faith in the power of God. Now, the Bible says that Joshua, he sent two men to go and spy on the city of Jericho. Now, when they got there, the Bible declares that they stayed in Rahab's house. And the king of Jericho said, "Behold, I heard that there were some men that came in the night, and they came to look around the country and to see what kind of forces we got. And I believe that they're spying on us." King of Jericho, Senator Rahab, said, "Now, I know that these men came in your house, for they entered in and they came to search out the country." Now, the woman took the two men. Bible says she hid them and said thus, "There did come two men, but I don't know where they are. They was here, but now they're gone. And if you get down there just before you close the gate, if you hurry up, you can catch them and overtake them." So now there are those of us that might be extra critical, and we'll say that Rahab told a lie. Well, she was a woman of the night. She knew what the lying about anyhow. But one thing about it is that this lie was a lie for the good. Every now and again, you know how it is that you can't justify telling a lie, but every now and again you lie to make peace. If I ain't here all by myself, are we so holy that we don't lie no more? We don't do nothing no more. We just got Jesus. Yeah. Let me know I'm with some folks. So now, Rahab told the lie. But the Bible said that it came to pass that as they began to shut the gate, that she had hid them on the roof of the house. And she hid them in the sorts of flax which she laid in order upon the roof. Now, the men pursued after the spies, and they went down toward the Jordan. As soon as they pursued them, after that, they were gone and the gate was shut. Before they laid down, the woman came and talked to her. In other words, now, before you go to sleep, I got to tell you a few things. She said, "Men, I know that the Lord gave you the land. I know that your terror falls upon us. I know that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I heard about how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. I heard how he brought me out of the land of Egypt. I heard that there were two kings of the Amorites and the other side of the Jordan, Sharon and Og, and how you utterly destroyed both of them. I heard that you have the power, and when I heard about the power that you have, our hearts began to melt. We began to feel like that if you come against us, we know that we are going to die and we're going to be destroyed. I don't know what I'm going to do because, men, I heard about the power that your God has. And I know that the God that we serve around here has no kind of power. I want to know, is there anything that you can do? I done hear you, so I want to let you know right now. Therefore, listen to what I got to say. I swear unto you by the Lord my God, I have showed you some kindness. Now, if I showed you kindness, you ought to show me kindness. Did anybody ever heard a tick for a tack? Anybody ever heard one good deed deserves another? So the woman said, I've been good to you. Now are you going to be good to me? Anybody in here ever made that type of deal? That if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. Maybe you use the terminology, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Any back scratches in the house this morning? Anybody ever did anything to get something out of it? Anybody know that the Lord will make a way out of no way? I want to know this morning, is there anybody in here that got the same mind like this woman of God? This woman realized that all I got to do, I need to know that everything is going to be all right. So now that I've been good to you, I want to know, will you come and take care of my daddy? Will you save my mama? Will you save my brothers and my sisters? Not only my brothers and my sisters, but all that they have. In other words, when everything comes down to the end and you come and take over the land, I want to know that everything is going to be all right. I want to know that I'm going to be exactly where I need to be. I know that I'm nothing but a wretch undone. But when I heard about the power of a mighty God, I changed the way that I think. I changed the way that I look at things. And I know that the Lord God has all power. And as long as God has power, everything is going to be all right. Where the men begin to answer the woman. The men said, our life for your life. But what you got to do is keep our business to yourself. See, every now and again when the Lord get ready to bless you, you got to learn how to hold on to your tongue. You can't tell everybody what the Lord getting ready to do. Because there's always an enemy out there to rob you of your blessing. But I thank God this morning that God realized that this woman got something on her mind. She said, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. I thank God this morning that the Bible said when they went on down and they went in, they said, all you got to do when the time comes is to let a scarlet ribbon down out of the window. And I know that when they come and began to take over the land, they will pass over your house and everything will be all right. Anybody know if you trust the power of God, when you do the right thing, God will do the right thing towards you. I saw somebody say, if you want to make a deal, you better make that deal on kindness. You better do what the Lord God tell you to do. Know that it don't matter what kind of life you got. If you turn away from your wicked ways, if you trust the power of a mighty God, God has a way to look over your fault. God is able to bless your every need. God bless this woman of God. One thing that I got to let you know, that you might be a wretch undone, but God can still hear your humble cry. For the Lord God realized that one thing about this situation. The woman said, if you do this, I'll do that. But the men say, if you keep your mouth shut, I'll do that. So there's some conditions when God gets ready to bless you. We got to know that you got to follow the conditions of God. When God said, if I've done something for you, and you ought to hold your peace, then you ought to hold it with everything that you got. But when God had done something for you, and he said, go and tell the story. Tell about the goodness of the Lord. Tell him how I brought you out. You see, they heard that the Lord God had done great things. And because they heard of the power of God, they was afraid of what God could do. I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you trust the power of God, God will look down at your situation. And God will make a deal with you. That if you live right, I'll give you eternal life. If you hold on to my unchanging hand, I'll heal your feeble body. If you eat of the bread of life, if you drink of the blood of the Lamb, I'll come one day and everything will be all right. For I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Anybody love God this morning? Anybody got joy down on the inside? Anybody want the Lord in your life? Somebody ought to tell God, yeah. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you because you've been good to me. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord God is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth is enduring. And all you got to do is trust the power of God. You ought to make a deal based on kindness. I'll do what you tell me to do. And I'll go where you tell me to go. Rahab realized that I got something to work with. I've done a good deed out of the kindness of my heart. I jeopardized being slain by lying to the king's men. But God covered me in the midst of my lie. And then that lie turned out to be a delivering blessing, because those two spies were delivered from hurt, harm, or danger. They got back and gave a report to Joshua. Man, the people over there are so scared of you. They don't know what to do. They're trembling in their boots. So whenever you get ready to move, all we got to do is move. For the Lord has already paved the way. And when they went in to take over the land, all Rahab had to do was just let the scarlet cord hang from her window. And her deliverance came. Why? Because she had did good and she kept her mouth closed. That was the conditions. That you keep your mouth closed. Now, therefore, I pray you. The man answered, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. Then verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quick of thine oath, which thou made us swear. So if you want to break the promise, run your mouth. If you want to kill some of your blessings, keep running your mouth. Trust what God says. And if you trust what the Lord says, everything will work out for your good.